You are listening to the Yummy Mummy Podcast, episode number 175.
Welcome to the Yummy Mummy Podcast, where you will learn brand new and shockingly different tools to lose weight for the last time. And now, here's your host, certified life and weight loss coach, Laura Conley.
Hey, Yummy Mummies, what's going on? Guess freaking what? We're about to open doors to the Yummy Mummy experience, so you better be on the wait list, especially if you want to fun little bonus, go to lauraconley.com, click work with me and get your booty on that list. We're going to start April 16th. We're going to lose weight for the last time, freaking guaranteed. So you just have to borrow my belief in you that you can do this. This really works. And guess what, you guys? We have a really special episode. We are bringing my assistant coach, the one and the only Rose Watson, to the podcast. She has over a decade of experience with coaching. My clients, our clients, are obsessed with her. They love her. She is a total expert when it comes to weight loss, and you're going to get to hear some of that expertise because we're going to do a little She Said, She Said episode. We have polled the audience. We polled my email list and got a bunch of burning weight loss questions. And so Rose and I are going to go back and forth and answer these. So Rose, welcome to the podcast. Introduce yourself to us. Tell us a little bit, and then we'll just dive into these questions. We got so many. I don't know if we'll get through all of them, but we'll do our best.
Thank you. I love being here. I love talking to you in general. Definitely love answering questions from our yummy mummies. I am Rose Watson. I am the delicious director of over delivery. Tongue twister? No, not today. So I am your assistant coach in the Yummy Mummy experience, and I have the pleasure of walking the journey with everybody there. Love it very much. I also have my own group called the Healed Wives, where I coach women who are walking through the journey of healing from betrayal, from their husband's betrayal, and healing marriages. I want to be really specific. So that's what I do. You can check me out if you would like, but otherwise, my main gig is the ladies, the yummies,
the yummy mummies. Oh my God, you guys, you should see my face. I got microneedling. If you're watching this on YouTube, that's why I look super crazy. I look like I have like a microneedling mustache. It's super hot. I just have to give that disclaimer because people are probably like, why does she look like that? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to like tag team it, you guys, and we're going to go back and forth. So first question coming in hot. It says, my question is, why is it that when my body was 20 pounds heavier, I felt unsatisfied with my body? And now that I have lost the 20 pounds, I'm unsatisfied again. How can I stop this cycle? How can I remember how I used to see my future self and be that? How can I feel satisfied where I am now? I'm much happier and feel better than I used to, but still find myself falling into the trap of unsatisfied thoughts. Okay, Rose, you go first.
She sprung it on me. Okay. Because it isn't the weight of our bodies that creates the way we feel. It's our thoughts about it. So lots of what would my future self do got you here. What does my future self think about her body is what will take you into living in the body you now have in this lower weight, right? Like identifying with that new weight.
She says too, she's like, I just find myself falling into the trap. I would call that out and be like, that's not a thing. There's no such thing. And you guys, just FYI, Rose and I are very loving. Rose probably way more so than I. But
no,
I don't know. But the point is, all of these answers are going to be answered from total unconditional love and support. And we just want the best for you. And we'll just give it to you straight though. We're going to like do tough love, but in the name of your future self. So falling into a trap, that is not a thing. You don't fall into a trap. There is actually no such thing as a trap of unsatisfied thoughts. It's just that you're letting your brain go undisciplined or unsupervised. And so I think if you really truly want to feel satisfied where you are now, if you really truly want to feel satisfied in your body, you have to actively practice feeling satisfied in your body by thinking thoughts. So add this to your journal practice. What can you think to feel satisfied in your body today? And it's not just one day. You're going to have to keep practicing thinking those thoughts and being that person. I'm basically saying the same thing Rose said. Is there anything that you would add to that?
There is a portion in here that reminds me of the 50-50. So like you say that you're much happier and feel better than you used to, which is fun, right? You are, you do feel better than you used to. You said so. Did you notice? Were you expecting where you've arrived at to feel better than it does? Like it's because of the fallacy that life will feel better at the end of achieving a goal and we won't experience negative emotion when we get there. The truth is we will always have a negative and positive experience of life no matter where we land. That's the 50-50. I mean, ideally, when you stop arguing with the negative aspect of life, you're kind of rocking that 70-30, 80-20, 90-10. But really, if you expect life to still have like negative emotion, even when you arrive in your dream body and your dream weight, then you're not surprised when you get there. So if you do both sides of the work where you're acknowledging the 50-50 of life, and you're thinking on purpose of how to be satisfied in the body that you're in all the way through from where you start to where you decide to end at your natural weight, it's like, then you'll have what you're looking for.
I love that. Yeah. Because the question, how do I stop this cycle? It almost insinuates like, how do I stop feeling bad? Mm-hmm. And so you totally just answered that question. You're just going to feel bad. And it's normal to like have the arrival fallacy. It's normal to play the win then game. Like, oh, when I get 20 pounds down, then I'm going to feel satisfied 100% of the time. Like if those thoughts of dissatisfaction come up, that's okay. It's like nothing bad or wrong. But I love that you're asking this question because it also tells me that you do want to stop the cycle and you don't want to keep pushing more and more, because I think diet culture can promote that, where it's like we get to our dream come true weight and then diet culture or diet brains are like more, more, more.
Next question. Why is balancing hunger hormones so important? / why doesn't intuitive eating work? And what does that actually mean or look like in practice? This is the context that our questioner gave. This was the game changer for me to tip over into a willingness to try Yummy Mummy. And honestly, I'd like it yelled from the rooftops why intuitive eating may actually be harmful to people, especially if hunger hormones aren't balanced. I'd really love for you to stir up some shit on the internet with every intuitive eating coach out there ever.
Oh my God. I love this question because I can yell it from the rooftops. I get like so crazy passionate about this because actually kind of what we are teaching our clients is to eat intuitively, but you can't eat intuitively if your hunger hormones are not balanced, because what'll happen is your hunger hormones will disguise themselves as your intuition, and your hunger hormones, if they're not balanced, will be like, I just want a cookie. I just really deserve a cookie. You know, it was a really hard day. Like my intuition is telling me that I need a cookie. No, that's your imbalanced hunger hormones. Or you could even call it your lower brain. Like your lower brain's job is to seek pleasure, avoid pain, and do it as quickly and as efficiently as possible. So your brain, again, if it's not balanced hormonally, is going to tell you that it is your intuition that wants the cookie or the junk food or the processed food that then is not going to bottom you out at your dream come true weight. So I really think that it's impossible to eat intuitively because your brain's job, again, is to seek pleasure and avoid pain. And what's pleasure? Cookies, cupcakes, pasta. What's painful? Saying no to cookies, pasta, and cake, and all the things, all the processed food.
Yeah. I think it's important to clarify. I have a very balanced perspective of what intuitive eating is and then eating intuitively, which are two different things. So like, let's clarify what intuitive eating actually is, just because over the last, I think like 10 years or so, it's become a really popular term and been kind of hijacked or like co-opted by folks looking to ride the trend. I'm looking at you, Noom. Mm. Usually it's in the diet industry where you see the term being used. There's a lot of misunderstanding and confusion on what it actually is. Intuitive eating is a therapeutic framework that two wonderful dietitians, they're both women, I forgot their names, created in 1995. It's a non-diet weight neutral approach. So instead of focusing on weight, it focuses on having a positive relationship with food and body and sustainable habits that add to your health, right? Physically and mentally. And that's great. We do a lot of that in the Yummy Mummy. And it's also about tuning into your intuition, your hunger, and trusting your body's cues, which we also do. The problem with it is that, again, it's not made for weight loss. But like, what if you do want to lose weight? And here's what happens when you start eating intuitively. The first tenet, the foundational principle, if you've ever studied what it actually is, I'm not going to go into it for the sake of time, but like actual intuitive eating, the first tenet is not about weight loss. It's focused on healing your diet brain mentality. Well, if you do want to lose weight and then you go try it and then you gain weight for all the reasons you just said, you end up not trusting yourself because your hormones, because you don't know what true physical hunger feels like because of hormones being imbalanced. And then you start to be like, well, is there something wrong with me that I like, I'm just hungry all the time and I was eating intuitively and I'm gaining weight. And it's like, it just perpetuates the cycle that you're literally trying to get out of. Intuitive eating, the framework, may not be what you want to be doing if you're trying to actually lose weight, but also like eating intuitively is great.
Yeah. I think it's the answer to so many people's problems, and problems in quotes, because I know for me, I used to walk around and be like, I just want to be healthy. I just want to be fit. No, that was a lie. I actually just wanted to lose weight and I was just scared to say it. Because our part of our culture, there's a subculture that shames us for wanting to lose weight. And the ironic thing is my intuition was actually screaming at me to lose the weight. But I felt so ashamed because at the time I was a yoga teacher and I thought I should just love and accept my body. I didn't realize there was room for and both. I didn't realize I could love and accept my body and want to lose weight. And it was so funny because I was ignoring my intuition. And then that was actually the opposite of self-love. So sometimes I just want to like kind of call this out. If this is you, your intuition, your gut might be telling you, there might be a whisper inside of you that is telling you, hey, like we want to lose weight. Hey, this extra weight on our bodies is not meant for us, is not making us feel our best, is not making us feel light and alive and vibrant. It's getting in the way of us living a present life, a connected life. It's getting in the way of us going down the water slide with our kiddos or whatever the thing is. And I know that's a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's important to point out that I do think there's a lot of people out there be like, oh, I just did intuitive eating and then I lost all this weight. What do you think?
Well, if it works for you, it works for you. Again, the intuitive eating framework, the therapeutic framework, isn't designed for that.
Yeah, that's so good. I love that. So this question also had a like second part that just said, and what does that actually mean look like in practice? And I think what she means is, what does balancing your hunger hormones actually mean? Like, what does that look like in practice? So your hunger hormones are insulin, leptin, and ghrelin. And we first focus on insulin. So most of us, I think the latest stat I saw was like 88% of Americans have insulin resistance. Basically, their insulin is not balanced and they're metabolically inflexible. So the way that you balance your insulin and then therefore your leptin and your ghrelin, those two hormones are in charge of telling your body when it's had enough, when it needs to move, when it's hungry. And so if we can balance our insulin, then those leptin and ghrelin become balanced too. So how do we balance our insulin? By paying attention to our blood sugar. So what you want and what most of us don't have is these nice, beautiful rolling hills, the rise and fall, gentle rise, gentle fall of your blood sugar. Every time you eat, or most times when you eat, now if you eat like sometimes I've been known to just grab a pat of butter while I'm making my kids some English muffins, a pat of butter is not going to raise your blood sugar. But most of the time, for the purposes of this question, most of the time when you eat food, your blood sugar is going to rise. And what you want is just a gentle rise and then a gentle fall of your blood sugar curve. a lot of us are eating in a way that is causing these huge spikes and then these huge crashes of our blood sugar. Now, when you eat something like a cupcake, you're going to get a huge surge. You're going to get a crazy spike in your blood sugar and therefore a crazy spike in your insulin. Insulin is a hormone that is in charge of storage, particularly with your fat. So it will store fat. It will cue your body to store fat, and it will stop you from releasing current fat on your body. Triple threat, because then you've got that huge spike, and what does it do? What goes up must come down. So it crashes, and then it leaves you hormonally hungry. You feel hangry. You feel starving. You can't control it. It's kind of like what Rose was talking about. If you're eating, quote unquote, intuitively, you eat a cookie, and then you're really hungry 2 hours later, you're not actually physically hungry. You're hormonally hungry. So it's like a triple whammy. Not only is your body being cued to store fat, it's also not being able to release the fat, and then you're getting that crash and you're hangry. Most of our clients, what does that look like in practice? They're using whole foods. They're eating whole foods. They're moving away from highly processed and processed foods. When you move away from substances that we've created in the last couple hundred years to get big dopamine hits inside our brain, big, huge false pleasure hits, you're probably going to be imbalanced when it comes to your hunger hormones. So like for me, I most of the time don't eat processed sugar. Most of the time don't eat flour. Most of the time don't eat things that cause a big spike in my blood sugar. And because I eat in this way, I can weigh what I want. So if you balance your blood sugar, you will balance your hunger hormones. What's really cool is then you balance a lot of your sex hormones too. And I could go on. So Rose, what do you want to say about that, if anything?
What could I even add to that? That was perfection.
And if you really wanted to get like sciencey about it or practical about it, you could wear a continuous glucose monitor, which are, they're getting very popular. And you could actually see, you can actually see your curves. You could actually see, am I getting big spikes? Am I getting big crashes? Am I having those nice rolling hills? When you have those nice rolling hills, you are metabolically healthy. You are insulin sensitive. And that is a good thing, because when you have metabolic flexibility, you lower your risk for so many lifestyle diseases, metabolic diseases, cancers, Alzheimer's. It's so like diabetes. It's so, so awesome. So it's not just about weight. It's also about health. So I know we just kind of like geeked out there, but interested in seeing the health of your hunger hormones, it could be fun for you to get a continuous glucose monitor. And the ones that I like are NutriSense and Levels.
Yeah, I second NutriSense.
Okay, cool.
You got an affiliate code for that, Laura Conley?
No. I got to get some. It's on the list. Rose knows about this because she's the one that gave it to me. That's on my parking lot. That's on the list for like 2026.
It's okay.
Next question. How is the YMX, how is the Yummy Mummy experience different? There's a context to this question too. So this writer inner says, this was another thing I wanted to know for sure before signing up. Honestly, it could be funny slash good to do a comparison on Instagram. Yeah, that would be so cool. She's talking about like, what would the anatomy of a diet versus the anatomy of the YMX look like? Take it away, Rose.
Oh, okay. You got to give me the one that would like, we could have five podcasts on why the YMX is different than just another diet.
I know, seriously. This could be a whole actual year-long podcast with all these amazing questions.
It would be a 6-month group program to teach.
No, it's so true. I'll be on consults and they'll be asking me this question. And I'm like, well, do you have 6 months? Because that's the answer. It takes 6 months for me to tell you why it's different. But we're going to summarize it.
Mostly because I would say because it's intrinsic. So we're teaching you, one, how to trust yourself to eat foods that get you to your natural weight. We're not telling you, like every diet out there, what to do. The other piece of it is that we're helping you think differently so that, one, you heal your relationship with food. You're no longer at the mercy of food, okay? You have a beautiful, nurturing relationship with it. You love it. It loves you. So much love, right? You do learn to love yourself in every step of the journey. Like we talked about the very first question, we are showing you and teaching you how to love you as you are now, because we all know hating yourself doesn't work. You cannot hate yourself then. And even if you get a little bit thin, it's going to come back. And again, you're going to hate it. So it's not a fun experience. So we teach you how to mentally approach weight loss so that you can enjoy every part of the journey. It's not something that is hard. It doesn't have to be something that's arduous. And I think especially the way that you have created the Yummy Mummy and the support in the community, it makes the process, it's challenging, like all good things that are worthy, right? It's totally so fun. And then often we hear this often. I read the daily downloads, baby. The word easy comes up more often than not, more often than hard, more often than difficult. This is so much easier. It's just, it's so much more than a diet.
Yeah. I mean, you're totally right. I think that if you feel like you know all of the things, but you just can't get yourself to do it, it's because you're missing what we offer. You're missing the mindset piece. You're missing the emotional level up. Like, you're probably very emotionally intelligent already, but there is a next level for you. I mean, I do think the accountability is amazing. Like, Rose is in there. I'm in there. Rose is in there checking on you daily. It's pretty cool. To your point about fun and love, yes, the hunger hormones, a lot of people are still teaching calories in, calories out, right? We're not teaching that. And again, Rose spoke to this too, but you're in choice. Like, we are helping you. We have your hand every step of the way, for sure. There is a process. It's very formalized. And again, step by step, but you're the one making your decisions. So we're not prescribing anything to you. We're not forcing you to do anything. You're deciding what you're doing, and you know why you're doing what you're doing. So you're like very bought in. We also, and again, you spoke to this too, we also really teach that this is forever. This is like a lifelong practice. And we teach you how to do the lifelong practice for life, for like the longness of your life.
when you do reach the longness of life, the foreverness of life. So when you do reach your natural weight, you're not sitting in a body that feels foreign to you, where you run and like have to gain the weight back again and jump into that cycle and that yo-yo. We help you identify as that future version of yourself. So when you get there, you're just like, oh, I've been you for a long time. This just makes sense for me to be this size. It just makes sense for me to be living this life and have this much energy. You're just in full trust of yourself and you know who you are.
Yeah, it's so true. I feel like so many diets have an end date, like 75 hard or 21 day fix or whole 30. It's like they all insinuate that you're going to be done and you're just never done. This is for life. And it's so much better. It's not a compromise. It's actually so much better over here when you're eating in a way that feels good in your body and that fuels your body. And again, like we were talking about, it's actually just really super fun. I think diets too can be like very band-aid-ish. Whereas I would say the Yummy Mummy experience is all about, yeah, we do offer band-aids. There's a lot of us in there that are drinking our cacao bliss every single night instead of
mint chocolate element. Yeah,
exactly. Mint chocolate element instead of like an entire pint of ice cream or picking at the kids' goldfish or whatever it is. So yeah, there are band-aids, but we're doing the root work to heal it at the root.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next question. How you teach people to love themselves / look back with love after a lifetime of being super harsh on themselves and only valuing themselves for their accomplishments?
Okay. So this is referring to like one of the concepts that we teach, which is if you eat in a way that doesn't serve your future self, like say you say, I'm going to be sugar free. I'm going to move away from sugar. I'm going to do no sugar, whatever that, however you want to phrase that for yourself. And then you eat a cupcake. We teach you to look back and say, hey, what happened there? I love you, self. And what went amiss? What went wrong? Like, why did I eat that cupcake? So you can learn from that quote unquote mistake or detour, whatever you want to call it. And so that you can get that little golden nugget and use that for next time. I always talk about this concept of discipline. Like, discipline means to teach, right? It doesn't mean to punish. It's like my daughter, the example is like my daughter was learning to ride a bike. She fell down on the bike. She's like, Mom, why did I fall down? I'm like, because you looked up at the bird and you swerved off to the side and fell into the bush. And she's like, oh, I'm like, try not to look up at the bird next time. Try to keep your eyes on the road. It's the same thing with the cupcake. Why did you eat the cupcake? Oh, I ate the cupcake because my husband brought it for me and he told me it was super special and he went to get it and I didn't want to hurt his feelings. So I ate it. Plus I really wanted it and it looked really good. So what do you want to do next time? Okay. Next time I'm going to be willing to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to be willing to tell him, no, thank you. That was so sweet. I love you so much. I really, really appreciate it. And I got a big goal. That's how we do it. That's how we teach our clients to not beat themselves up. It can be such a habit to, again, quote unquote, make a mistake and then beat the crap out of yourself. But that doesn't work. We already tried it so many times. We know beating the crap out of ourselves, number one, doesn't work. Now, some of us will put our heads in the sand and we'll just like completely ignore what we just did. And that doesn't work either because then we miss the opportunity to learn and do better next time. So just because you've been a certain way your whole life has nothing to do with your ability to change. So I want to give Rose the mic because I can just tell she's got something juicy.
I can listen to you all day though. Okay. I'm pretty sure that this is how I fell in love with you. Okay. So I'll touch on the valuing yourself for your like accomplishments. Again, that's very similar to the first portion. It's like we've been raised to believe this is how it is, that punishment is what's going to create change, right? It's also, we've been raised to get the gold star and the check mark and keep up with the Joneses. And we get applauded and validated and affirmed for all of our accomplishments in society. And so, of course, you're human. You want those things. It makes sense that you place a lot of value in that. You can have value in those things, find value in them without that being part of your innate value.
Mm-hmm.
We just get really confused about attaching those. And I think to the question of how you teach people to not value themselves just for their accomplishments, in the Yummy Mummy, we do a lot of work on mindset. We untie the little knots, the little belief systems that have been at play for quite a long time in our lives, generally from when we were little babies who were just looking to the adults for how we should act and what we should think, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just untie some of that. And if you subscribe to it while you were a child, because that's all you knew, but you wouldn't necessarily subscribe to it now, the Yummy Mummy helps you untie everything, subscribe and unsubscribe to the things you want and don't want anymore, right? It's like in looking at it really intentionally with a lot of consciousness. And so when you do that, it kind of naturally dissipates this idea of like you being attached to your value. You find other ways of creating your own value. I wouldn't even say like creating ways, but you kind of unlock the value that was always there that wasn't contingent upon what you do in your life.
Yeah.
Or how you show up as a mom or, you know, the size of your body.
Yeah.
We detach all these things that we've been attaching. We've been taught to it. Our value.
Yeah. Yeah. We were totally taught like if you get an A plus, that's good. And then that means you're good.
Yeah.
Or you score a goal or whatever. It's like, again, it's like the air we breathe. So it's very normal. And it's just our thoughts. We really can choose different thoughts. We can choose what we want to think about ourselves and what we want to make our accomplishes mean or not mean.
It sounds so simple, but it is profound and it is actually that simple. So if you're listening to this, you could decide that right now for yourself.
So good. Okay, you guys, let's do one more and then we have to save the other ones for another podcast. Okay. Is that good, Rose? We'll do one last one. Okay. How to take the emotion out of food. This is what this writer inner is saying. Something I've been struggling with is both guilt at eating some foods, though they are on my protocol, and I guess calling some foods joy eats, though I call them yummy mummy munchies, as I'm trying to take out the emotion associated with food. I think it's a diet culture brainwashing of the past that is confusing how I feel about food. Ideally, I want to eat food for nourishment, but then occasionally enjoy an occasional food. As a child, food was used as a treat and a soother, comforter, and I'm trying to break that relationship and see food differently, but at the same time, enjoy an occasional food without the guilt. So I guess I'm trying to work out how to have a healthy relationship with food.
Boom. Okay. First, I want to say this is completely normal and actually more of the case for most of us than not. I would, if you said this to me, I'd be like, high five. I know exactly how this feels. Even years after solving this for myself, I still notice my desire to treat my kids and my grandkids or give them something to eat to resolve what is essentially an emotional regulation opportunity for them, like having a fit, you know? And I'm just like, yeah, but like, here, do you want some goldfish or here? We're going to go get ice cream later. Just remember that. So I definitely did it with myself for a long time. It was just food was built around, like food was meant for pleasure. Again, that's like one, something that our society is built on, but two, advantageous to big food. That's what it's designed for. It's made to be incredibly addictive and make people a lot of money. So there's that. So first thing is just completely normal. The second is that you really did answer your own question in this. And even your best solution for it, which is so fun. You actually can trust yourself. And I wonder if you read back on this question and were like, oh my gosh, like I kind of knew the answer. Why can't you enjoy the occasional yummy, mummy, munchy, which is what we call it, or like joy eat without guilt? Why can't you? I think we forget where guilt comes from. Where does guilt come from? The way you're thinking about it, right? So like, if you plan to have this thing and it's intentionally for food, I think we also forget that because of diet mentality, that if we're eating something quote unquote bad, like we forget that food is also can be used for pleasure too. We just don't want to give all of our pleasure seeking to that thing because then you have what you call a net negative result. And we forget that like 1%, maybe 1.5, 2%, right? Can be used for just straight up pleasure because food is pleasurable. I would say that like, honestly, everything on my protocol is amazing. Like I eat food most of the time. Occasionally, you know, if I'm not cooking and I go to a restaurant or something, it's not going to be, sometimes I'm disappointed, but it's still like, it's food. It's not always meant to be amazing, but I still take the opportunity to just enjoy the food. And that 1 to 2% is designed for pleasure. Why do you feel guilty if you're choosing to eat it? That's a thought you're having after the fact about it. That's probably from some diet brain mentality that's left over, just like lurking in the shadows.
Oh, I think you're exactly right. It's how do I take the emotion out of food? And it's a slow untangling. I mean, it's really about noticing and okay, when is there emotion? Like, I think the easiest way to do it is, are you using food for what it is for? Like you kind of said, most of the time. Like, take the emotion out of food. How to do that? Eat when you're hungry. Stop when you're satiated. And then everything else is an emotional eat. Everything else is an emotional eat. And you can just learn from that. Emotional eating is not bad or wrong. It's just an opportunity if you want to weigh what you want and you don't weigh what you want to weigh currently. So that's how to do it. Eat when you're hungry and then notice your desire to eat when you're not hungry. And what is that desire about? What are you trying to, why? Why are you in the pantry? Why do you want to go out for ice cream? Is there a feeling that you need to spend some time with, like disappointment? Or maybe the party is not very fun and you want to make it more fun? Or, I mean, fill in the blank anytime you're not hungry. And that's a great kind of barometer to set because all you have to do is just ask the question. Like I know for me, I used to like hang out in front of the fridge or like just lurk around in the pantry. And if I wasn't hungry, the question like, what am I looking for here? Like, what do I really need? And then I could answer it and take care of myself in that moment in a way that actually helped me, that actually supported me instead of left me with a bigger problem.
Amen.
So all right. Good. We did it. You guys, we have to do another episode or two or three or four, but I don't want to make Rose have like a 2-hour episode, nor do I want you to listen to us for 2 hours. I mean, I do, but just for podcast recording purposes, that's our episode. Anything else that we should add? Rose, tell them where they can find you if they want to find you.
You can find me at the Yummy Mummy Experience once you join. I'm a bonus inside. You have to get inside to find me.
I'm going to start marketing you. I'm going to start doing that. Look at beautiful Rose.
I'm going to be like the features, but I'll have a little picture of like a little bio. Yeah. No, you totally can. And I highly recommend it. Our doors are open right now and it is a life-changing experience. You deserve it. You deserve to have the body that you want, even if it's just a teensy tiny itty bitty whisper in the back of your mind telling you that you want to lose weight. This is for you. I cannot encourage you more to jump in.
That's so fun.
I mean, it's so true. I get to see every single one of these women change their lives every day. And they go on to do like the most amazing things. They hit their natural weight and then they go on and like their whole world is different. The rest of their life, their family's life, their children's lives. It's just this compounded, amazing generational impact. So get in on that.
Get in there. Yeah. It's about the weight loss, but it's not about the weight loss. It's about what's on the other side. I was just listening to this podcast, like I think yesterday, and it was a business podcast and they were talking about like opportunity costs. Like what is the opportunity cost of you not signing up for business coaching? And I was thinking about that with like Yummy Mummy. I'm like, what is the life cost? Yes. Like, cause it is about the weight, but it's not about the weight. Like what are you costing you by not losing this weight? What is on the other side? So much. I mean, we know because we see it every day.
And whatever your brain comes up with is the answer for that question. Please know that it is probably 20 to 50 times more brilliant and brighter than even what your brain can imagine right now, because it just doesn't even know the possibility. It doesn't know what it doesn't know. Yes.
So good.
Get in there. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. But what if they, if they had a husband betray them? If they had a husband betray them?
You can find me at rosewatsoncoaching.com. And yeah, that's like the best place. I'm on the interwebs at Rose Watson Coaching on Instagram and facebook.com/rosewatsoncoaching if you would like to. I live mostly in my group, which is called the Healed Wives Club. I don't mess a whole lot with the socials, but you can contact me via my website.
Yay. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. This was super duper fun. So you guys, if you want to get on the wait list for the Yummy Mummy, go to lauraconley.com, click work with me and get your booty over there. And we'll see you inside. We start April 16th. Woohoo! Have the best week ever. Hey, if you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, I would love it if you leave a rate, review, and a subscribe on whatever you're listening to this podcast in. Pretty pleased with the cherry on top. It would help me so much, and it would help all the other mamas out there hear this message. Thank you in advance. I really appreciate it. And you have to come check out the Yummy Mummy Experience. It's my proven lose weight for the last time group coaching and course. Head to lauraconley.com and just click work with me. Other than that, you guys, I would love to give you a free gift. If you want your free listener-only gift, go to lauraconley.com/gift, and from there, you will get your free best ever weight loss hack. So cool. The last thing I want to tell you guys, is I do have a free Facebook group. It's called, you guessed it, The Yummy Mummy. Lose weight for the last time, end body drama, and get food freedom. You can just search that in Facebook, or again, you can head to the show notes and you'll find the link there. All right, you guys, have the best day ever.